Welcome to this edition of the God is Your Life broadcast. This is Reverend Mark Slay inviting you to join me for the next few minutes as we get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:20 tells us to love the Lord your God, obey His voice, and to hold tight to Him, for this is your life. I'll be back in a few minutes, but for now, let's listen as I teach from the Word. Yeah, we've been over that before, but look at Psalm 22 real quickly. Now, all of the sacrifices under the old covenant, they were animal sacrifices for shed blood. What was the blood for? Well, God was telling a story. But you notice Psalm 22, which was written by David. David was a prophet. We already know that. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Look what David does as he begins to speak in the Spirit, by the Spirit. He begins to talk about the Messiah without knowing it. And he begins to quote some of the very words that the Messiah was going to quote on the cross 2,000 years later. Now look, Psalm 22 starts off, and Jesus quoted these very words. My God, why have you forsaken me? Remember that? Because God turned his back on his sacrifice. Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. My God, I cry by day, but you don't answer me. Well, no, because he left him in hell for 3 days. And by night, but I have no rest. Why? Now, is that a place of torment? I have no rest. How come you don't hear me? Now, he's talking from hell here. After Jesus died physically, he left his body and went somewhere. And did those folks ever notice that when Jesus was raised from the dead and appeared to Mary in the garden, that he said to Mary, and she fell at his feet and began to handle him, handle the Messiah, and he said, Mary, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Did you get that? Where was Jesus? Well, it's obvious. He said, I have no rest, yet you're holy, and you are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. You want God to be manifest in your life? Then get busy praising Him. Amazes me how many times I have to come in here and exhort people to worship. I feel like I'm pulling a train uphill by myself. He inhabits the praises. See, I realize, do you realize that if I lay hands on you, nothing's going to happen? But if I lay hands on you, by the power of the Spirit, everything will happen. It's not me doing it. I can only minister as He anoints me to minister. And He inhabits the praises of His people. Why do you think week after week after week after year I say, praise Him, because His inhabitation. He'll come in and He'll anoint me stronger. And the stronger that anointing comes, the more results you'll get. That's why I encourage you over and over to do it. He inhabits the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I'm a worm and not a man. Now look at this. Is this a picture of the Messiah? A reproach of men and despised by the people. Now why would David be prophesying that? It's a picture of the Messiah. All who see me sneer at me. They separate the lip, they wag the head. You know what that means, separate the lip and wag the head? Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, they walked by him, some just looked up at him and they went, just wagged their head and said, he said he was the Son of God. Well, if you're the Son of God, let's see you come down. They didn't realize he wasn't supposed to come down. That's the purpose of him being hanging up there. He said, they separate the lip, they wag the head. Now, why would David be prophesying this? Commit yourself. Now, this is exact words that those people at the foot of the cross said. Commit yourself to the Lord. Let Him deliver him. Let Him rescue him because He delights in him. See, they were taunting the Messiah. Yet you are He who brought me forth from the womb. Still talking about the Messiah. David's prophesying. Notice the Messiah would come through the womb. He said, through your descendants, Abraham. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast, notice he would be born. Upon you I was cast from birth, and you have been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there's none to help. Now look at this. Here's a picture of Jesus on the cross. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls. Is he talking about physical bulls? I don't think so. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth, and as a ravening and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within me. My strength is dried up. Now, let's talk about somebody suffering here. And my tongue cleaves to my jaw. You notice Jesus was crying out for water on the cross. And they gave him sour wine. And you lay me in the dust of death. Now, why would David be saying that? He's not dead. He's prophesying this. You lay me in the dust of death. He's speaking in the place of the Messiah under the unction of the Spirit. For dogs have surrounded me. Dogs was a common Jewish term for Gentiles, the Romans. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. Now notice the picture. They're around me. He's up on the cross. They're encompassing the cross. He said, a band of evildoers has encompassed me. Look at the next words. Could this possibly be David, like Peter said, talking about himself? He said, they have pierced my hands and my feet. Well, you know David couldn't be talking about himself. Now, how in the world would David know about Roman crucifixion 1,000 years before it ever happened? They didn't crucify people then. But he said, they pierced my hands, pierced it, and my feet. How would they? See, he's speaking under the unction of the Spirit. That's why I say people that read the Psalms, oh, I love Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And they get so much comfort out of that. And I think, don't you realize those Psalms are prophetic? They're not even talking about comforting you necessarily, just, you know, God will be by my side. And that's true, he is. But a lot of that is talking about the Messiah as the shepherd. Notice here, David's not talking about himself. He didn't have his own hands and his own feet pierced. He says, I can count all my bones. Look at this. They stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. Now, if no other scripture ought to convince you that Jesus was the Messiah, that one ought to. Because the Roman soldiers, as recorded in Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, the Roman soldiers cast dice or lots for Jesus' clothes. They were going to take it and split it, you remember, among the Roman soldiers and said, here, you take a piece, I'll take a piece. Now, some people think that God's into poverty. What kind of clothes did Jesus have on at the time he was being crucified that they would have been willing to tear it just to have a piece of it? But they said, no, let's not tear it. Then it's no good to all of us. We'll just gamble for who gets his cloak. Do you see that? And those Roman soldiers, bless their darling heart, had no idea that their very name was written in Psalm 22. Said, for my clothing they cast lots. See, David is not talking about himself. He's prophesying about the Messiah. Said, but you, O Lord, be not far off, and you, my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, and my only life from the power of the dog. Notice that phrase again. And save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen, you answer me. And he goes, I'll tell of your name to my brethren. Well, how could a dead person do that unless they were raised from the dead? In the midst of the assembly, Messiah still speaking, I'm going to praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him, and all you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. And he goes on to say some other things in the psalm that are just exalting statements. Now, one other place in the Old Covenant, you'll see my point. I told you we'd be a while, but I hope it's okay. Are you learning anything? I hope so. I sure hate to be up here wasting all my breath into the air. In Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, the prophet Isaiah, remember what Peter was saying? He said, guys, all the prophets talked about this. You could go to any prophetic book of the Old Testament and find Jesus in it if you just knew where to look. Notice they didn't realize Psalm 22, but Peter would go and quote all these psalms and say, guys, this is what he was talking about. Isaiah 52, the prophet Isaiah puts his hand to the plow of prophesying about the Messiah. Now, Isaiah wrote this in 750 BC. So he's writing 750 years before the Messiah. Count them, 750. How could he have known with such detail? Look at verse 13. Behold, my servant, that's the Messiah. My servant will prosper. You bet he will. And he'll be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. You bet he will. But what has to happen first? Just as many were astonished at you, so his appearance was marred more than any man. See, the Jews were looking for a king that would come in pomp and glory like Solomon and like David. And Isaiah says, oh no, on the contrary, the Messiah will have nothing spectacular about his outward appearance that you would look upon him. He says, No stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He'd just be a man. And he was despised. Now look at that. His own prophet said it. He was despised. The Messiah had to be despised. And he was forsaken of men. Forsaken. Despised, forsaken. But look, a man of sorrows. Now look, he had to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He had to, somehow. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Now notice he's prophesying about the Messiah, but he's talking as if it's past tense. Because when you're seeing things in the Spirit, it's as if they are past tense. When you're prophesying by the Holy Ghost, it's as if they already happened. Do you know that Peter said that by the predetermined plan of God, the Messiah would suffer? Well, that means in the mind of God, it was always a fact. So when Isaiah is prophesying by the Spirit here, he's seeing it as if it's already past tense, because in the mind of God, it was past tense. It was a predetermined plan. He'd already seen it all happen. And he says, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore. And you know the word griefs there in the Hebrew is the word for sickness? The word griefs there, go back and look at Deuteronomy. Same word used in Deuteronomy for sickness. Our sicknesses he himself bore, and our sorrows, that Hebrew word is pains. Our pains, he carried them. Now notice, look at substitution there. He bore our griefs and sorrows. He bore ours. Is that substitution? Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken by God, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, they thought he was getting what he deserved. Remember the Jewish high priest who said, oh my God, he blasphemes because he said, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God. He said, what need do we have of witnesses? He goes, you heard him say it yourself. What does he deserve? Crucifixion, they said. They delivered him over to the Romans. Notice we ourselves esteemed him, talk about the Jews, we ourselves esteemed him smitten of God and smitten by God. In other words, he got what he deserved. But, now look at verse 5. Now David prophesied about this, Isaiah prophesied about this. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. So he had to be pierced. I said, so the Messiah had to be pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That means our sins. You want to know why Jesus died? Because of you. That's why. Because of you. So you could live in sin and not have to go to hell for it. Just to trust his cleansing blood,
just and simple faith. I hope you enjoyed today's message. The title of the message is God's Plan for the Last Days. If you'd like a copy, you can look us up on the web at mrcstl.org or marksslay.org. That's marksslay.org. Or you can call our office at 314-965-8488. 314-965-8488. Until next time, this is Reverend Mark Slay reminding you that God is your life.